I love how they show you that and then expect you to preach afterwards. Like, come on. That is a stretch. Holy smokes. So we'll do our best to shed as few tears as possible, but it's totally understandable. So I'm hoping there's a little grace for that on a day such as this. But the truth is, like, it would be a travesty if we spent today focused 100% on Bernine and I and refused to acknowledge the grace of God. Man, it's too early for this. And so I'm going to do my best in the next bit just to give glory where glory is due, you know? So, yeah. I was like, come on, man. Like, can we have shown that video afterwards? Anyways. Yeah. Hey, sweet. Yeah, that works good. Yeah. Let's just get into it. I did something really scary this week. The interns were celebrating their last week as well. And they were going out in style. They were actually heading out to Comox Lake to this place called the Devil's Ladder. Anybody ever heard of that? Okay. Anybody ever jumped the Devil's Ladder before? You guys are all chickens. Is that it? Oh, yeah, we got a couple. Oh, we got a few. All right. So Man, you guys can relate. If you haven't jumped the Devil's Ladder, I'm going to assume it's because, well, one, you've never heard of it, or you heard devil and you were like, stay away, or you got there and you were like, no way, Jose. Because if you know what the Devil's Ladder is, it's this kind of like cliff on the side of the lake, of Comox Lake, and youngsters like to go there to prove their manlyhood and jump off and, you know, impress the ladies and stuff like that. And while I have no ladies to impress, I had some youngsters that were calling me out, and so I had to impress. And for me, I've always been like a bit of an adrenaline junkie. Like, I do enjoy things that just get your blood pumping, and you're just like, oh man, I don't know. Like, there's all sorts of rides that we've been on, and roller coasters, and there's this like water slide that I remember in West Edmonton Mall that we used to go to. Just this super steep thing, and I don't even remember the name of it, but Bernine and I have a name for it, and it's called the Crack Attack, because there's no way you're getting off that thing without a wedgie. It's just the worst. And so, like, things like that. Like, I've been bungee jumping before. Like, I love these things, but I don't know what it was, man. The Devil's Ladder, that thing got me butterflies everywhere. And so we get up there, and there's this skinny little ledge to walk up. And I mean, Josh Clark, man, the guy is absolutely fearless. He's like, are you guys all here yet? I'm ready to jump. I'm ready to jump. So he jumps, no problem, lands it perfectly, sticks the landing, and then the rest of us are just stuck there. We got Pastor Daniel, we got Hudson Gallardi, Gabe Smith, Moses was up there, Kenzie, I think Samara was up there for a bit, and everybody's just like waiting, like, who's gonna be next? Like, I don't know who's gonna be next. And I knew that, like, man, if you tried to count me down, like, from 10 and make me jump, it's not gonna happen. Like, I'm gonna get like super like frozen, and the pressure's just gonna get to me. And so, you know, have you ever been at the top of something and there's just like this like half second where you're just like, I think I could jump right now. Those moments come sometimes, you know, show up. And so I'm at the top of the Devil's Ladder, and I keep getting these little, like, inklings, like, just jump. I'm like, you know what? I just need to, like, surprise everybody. No countdown, no nothing. Like, just as soon as I feel that moment, I just need to go. I just need to commit full. And so I'm, like, visualizing the jump. Okay, make sure you don't land like this. You know, make sure, like, you point your toes down. Make sure you don't lean, anything. Just pencil right in. And so the moment came. And they're just, I don't even know what they were talking about. But all of a sudden, I just, like, jump. And I didn't even mean to, but there was this really big scream that came out of me and everything. It was like, yeah! But I stuck the landing. And I'm still feeling whiplash from it to this day. But that, let me tell you what, I hadn't done anything like that in a very long time. Like, I hadn't done something that scared the pants off me in a really long time. And it's interesting, you know, I'm in my 30s now, and maybe some of you who are even older than me would know, but like as you get older, it seems like the edge, that risk-taking part of you seems to kind of die off a little bit. Maybe not for some of us, but I think for most of us, we would agree that as you get older, your risk assessment kind of goes up a little bit. And you're a little less likely, you probably have a little more to lose. You know, you may have a spouse or family or whatever. So you're like, okay, like you're weighing the consequences of this decision a little more, right? And that just naturally happens as we get older. But I also find the same thing happens as we get older in the faith sometimes. When you first come to know Jesus, and this particularly for adults, I find, when you first come to know Jesus, there's this excitement, there's this just recklessness, this adventurous spirit that kind of comes out, and you're willing to kind of just like do whatever it is to tell people about Jesus because it's absolutely changed your life. You know, you're willing to get dunked in the river today and get baptized, or maybe you just like you're in the middle of a public place. And all of a sudden you start talking to someone about Jesus, or maybe you feel like God's calling you on a missions trip or to go into full-time missions. I think of like the shoemakers, you know, they get saved a year or two later, they're on the mission field. Boom. It's easy to take those risks because this fire of God is just so fresh and so overpowering in your life. But it's weird how the longer you stick with your faith, sometimes it's really easy for your risk assessment to go up. And how your faith can kind of get a little stable and controlled and tame. But this series we're talking about is all about stretching. A stretching faith. And I kind of liken it to our physical bodies. That as our physical bodies get older, if we don't start stretching a little more, like if I go out and I play some basketball for a couple hours or volleyball with the boys, I'm gonna feel it for a couple days if I don't stretch before and after. And it's the same thing with our faith. If we don't stretch our faith as we get older, as we continue on in the faith, it's easy for us to get stiff and rigid. And even broken when tough things can come along. Does that make sense? But having your faith stretched, I believe, is a sign of spiritual health. Just like when you're stretching regularly with your body, it's a sign of physical health. And so if you've been shadowing our journey, like you know that Pastor Evan just shared, like it hasn't been like the most easy journey. It's been a very stretching journey for us in the last few months as God's been just taking us on a wild ride. And I, as I've been pondering it and as I've sought God in scripture and in prayer, there's this one story in the Bible that just keeps standing out to me. And I got to share it with you this morning. It's the story of Abraham. And most of us have probably heard this story, but I just want to share with you a little bit of my journey. And I'm praying that as we talk about that, as we talk about Abraham's journey and how God led him and spoke to him through that you would all be inspired as well. Because maybe there's a devil's ladder for you today that you need to jump off of. Hopefully it's not called the devil's ladder, though. Okay, so if you've got your Bible, Genesis chapter 12 is where we're picking it up. The story of Abraham. Now, keep in mind, it says right there, now the Lord said to Abram, don't worry, Abram and Abraham are the same guy. You see a few chapters later that God actually changes Abram's name to Abraham. And so just don't get confused because I'll probably call him Abraham through like the whole sermon, all right? So it says, then the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now let's pause right there. Because if I'm Abram, in this moment, there's some red flags going off as God's speaking to me. We're going to find out in a couple verses that as God is sharing this with Abram, Abram is actually 75 years old. And at this moment, he doesn't have any children. So, anyone 75 or older in the room tonight? We're not going to shame you, don't worry. But just imagine if you're in that position, God saying, hey, I want to make a great nation out of you. I'm going to bless you with tons of kids. And you're probably going to say, no, I don't want that. I'm too old for that. I mean, I'll take my grandkids and I'll spoil them and whatever, but no, thank you. Like, Abraham's getting up in years, and so is his wife. And so for me, I think about that and from Abraham's perspective. I'm like, man, that does not sound like fun, God. And secondly, you're telling me to leave. So everything I know, like my homeland, where I've grown up, my father's house, where all my family is, everything I've ever known, my comfortable place. God, you're telling me to pack up and to take off. And you're not actually telling me where I'm going. He says, just go to a land that I will show you. Well, that sounds good. Awesome. Sign me up. Like, there's so many problems with this. And that second piece especially, it just resonates with me because when we first heard God speak to us, when we first started feeling like God was calling us to step down from our ministry role here at Northgate, that's exactly what it felt like. It was like God was saying, just go to a land I will show you. And it's like, seriously? Like, God, we're actually pretty comfortable here. Like, 3.5 years ago, you called us out of our comfort zone in Alberta, the homeland we grew up in with our families, everything, and you moved us over here. Now, 3.5 years later, we've bought a house here. We've renovated the snot out of it. You know, we just got our backyard, like, growing grass, which is awesome. And, like, we're just starting to enjoy a comfortable life here in the Comox Valley. And now you're telling us to just take all that, throw it out, and move somewhere else or move on to something else as far as work goes. Like, God, what in the world is that all about? And not only that, some of you don't know my story, but I've been doing ministry pretty much my entire adult life. I got hired at my old church the day after I turned 19, my first day of ministry. I had no idea what I was doing, and I have no idea what they were doing hiring me. But for 12 or 13 years, that is all that I've ever known as a career. Youth ministry, young adult ministry, ministry in a church. And in this season, we actually don't necessarily feel like we're meant to jump right into another ministry position. And so I'm wondering, God, like, what's up with that? There's no comfort in that. Like, this is what I trained for. I went to school for this, God. I've been through ordination processes and all that stuff. And, you know, like, I've read lots of books. And this is just what I feel like you've built me for. But what now? It kind of sucks how God works that way, doesn't it? Sometimes. How he calls us to something, but he doesn't give us the whole picture. Like, that really gets my goat sometimes. Do people still say that? I don't know. Like, that really bugs me sometimes. Like, God, what are you thinking? What are you doing? It takes a huge measure of faith to take this step. But, you know, I've been super encouraged. As we started working through this process, I actually started reading this book that I had read a few years ago called The Grand Paradox, talking about the paradox of faith. And we're called to walk by faith and not by sight, you know, to just trust in God, even though it doesn't look like it's going to pan out all right or whatever. Despite what everything says, we walk by faith, we walk not by sight. It's written by this guy named Ken Witsma. And I didn't know at the time, but as I read through this book, as I read through the Bible, as I sought the Lord, man, God just began to speak to me so much through this journey. I feel like I've never heard God speak with as much clarity as in the last season. And yet, I'm still confused. it's bizarre. I know that like I'm headed in the direction that God wants me to be going. He's spoken pretty clearly there, but I still am confused. But there's this cool piece in this book that I read where Ken Witzma says this thing. He says, faith is defined more in confusion than in clarity. Where when things make sense in life, when we're like riding on the mountaintop, when we're enjoying life, there's no question marks anywhere in our life. There's no room for faith to grow there. But when our life turns into just chaos, and there's confusion, and there's question marks, and there's pain, and there's sadness, and there's anger, there's disappointment, that's where faith is really defined. That's where faith is really grown. That's where the rubber of our faith really meets the road. And I feel like we really need to get a hold of that in the church nowadays, because we have this tendency when people go through difficult seasons where it's faith-testing seasons, and there is sadness, and there is anger, and there is disappointment, and there is confusion, there is excitement, there's all this gamut of emotion that you experience in these seasons. But yet, it's almost like we don't allow ourselves or we don't allow people to have these moments of sadness, to have these moments of anger. And we just try to explain it all away. And we just say, oh, it just takes a little faith. Oh, just have faith. And we try to explain these things away, or we try to come up with pretty little easy answers and just tie a little bow on the emotion and the experience of what people are going through, which is a disservice. That's where the faith actually grows. We need to come face to face with those emotions, so that we can fully appreciate the grace and the mercy and the provision that God pours out in those moments, so that when we look back 5 years down the road, we can look back and say, wow, God, you really showed up there. Look at Jesus even. John chapter 11. Jesus, one of his besties, Lazarus, dies. He gets sick and dies. Jesus shows up, and this is one of the most powerful miracles that Jesus ever performed that you all probably know about before I'm even about to say it. But what happens in John 11? John 11, 35, it's the shortest Bible verse. If you're ever doing like Bible memorization challenge, John 11, 35. Jesus wept. Why is Jesus weeping? He's about to raise his best friend to life. He's not dead. Why? Because Jesus, though he was fully God, was also fully human. And he experienced the full spectrum of human emotion. That even in that moment, Jesus wept. Even though he probably knew, that he was going to call Lazarus out, there was still this moment where he just sits in this. I'm not advocating for like long pity parties as we journey with God in our faith. I'm not advocating for you to just like absolutely excommunicate yourself and just kind of go into hiding for long periods of time, but I am saying that we need to actually be okay with just being real in these moments of sadness and just be okay with it. Because it's in those moments where our faith can really be tested and grow. You know, Abraham didn't even get to see the end. Abraham, he didn't get easy answers. God didn't give him the blueprint. God didn't give him the map. But guess what Abraham did anyways? Check out verse 4. Verse 4, Genesis 12. So Abraham went, as the Lord had told him. That right there, folks, is a very profound statement. Abraham didn't argue. He didn't try to like rationalize things out. He just said, oh God, you're telling me to go? Sounds good, let's go. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, and Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions they had gathered and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. Now, here's another cool part of this story. God calls Abraham to go, and Abraham goes, but he doesn't just like go on a little scouting trip, you know, just like, hey babe, I'm gonna take 2 weeks and go check it out over here. I feel like we're supposed to go and move, and so I'm just gonna, you know, feel it out a bit. He packs up everything. He's like, Sarai, don't get the kids because we don't have any yet, but you know, pack up the house, do it all. Hey, and Lot, my nephew over here, we're gonna take you too. Come on, let's gather up all our stuff. We're going. God's told us to go. Like he goes wholesale. He doesn't go half-hearted. He goes in all in. This is like the TSN all in moment. He's just like, God, you're telling me to go? Yeah, sounds good. There's this point where we all experience in our lives where God is going to call us to do something, to take a leap of faith, and we got to decide, are you going to commit or are you not? It's simple. Commit or not. Do or do not. There is no try, as Yoda once said. Wise words from a really old troll. And for us, man, we felt like God was leading us down this road for quite some time. You know, we'd kind of been feeling these promptings. God kind of confirmed it, where it felt quite clear to us. But it was tough making that call. And I thought that I could maybe like kind of go half in on it. You know, maybe just stick it out here and just, you know, wait till something else came up and like, you know, chat with heaven maybe about it, whatever. But man, I had this defining moment, this one night where I was just walking the streets of Courtney with God. And I just, every argument, everything I could come up with to try and rationalize or reason with God, it was like God just met me with a rebuttal and said, man, like, are you just going to do this or not? And I can remember actually journaling in a journal and basically writing out two outcomes of my life. One was, what do I do if I stay? If I stay, you know, I've got a job stability. I know what I'm going to be making. I know what I'm going to be doing for work. I know all these things. There's all these known things. Yet if I leave, I got no idea. There's question mark after question mark after question mark. And I felt this question came up in my heart, and I wrote it on the page, and it was this. It says, which decision requires more faith? The answer is pretty obvious. And so I had this conversation with Pastor Evan the next day, and it was cool. There was such a peace on that conversation that as I began to share what God had been taking me through, there was just this understanding on Evan's part that it was like, man, like, sounds like you're meant to be following where God's leading. And so we've just kind of charted out the next few months and what that would look like in this transition. And man, God's grace has been all over this thing. We got some people in place, and the pieces are starting to come together for Evan. You know, we've got a couple pieces starting to come together for us too. But there's this moment that comes in all of our lives where God is going to call us to commit. Yeah, I guess band can come up now if you want. Wasn't sure where to insert that. But maybe you're in that place this morning as well. I can't help but think that, man, like, the journey of faith with God is never, I hate to say it, but it was never meant to be easy. Jesus never, ever promised us that it would be easy. In fact, he guaranteed the opposite to his disciples. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. Mic drop. That's what he said. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. Jesus never promised us that faith, that this stretch was going to be easy. Man, stretching is hard. I can remember in high school where I pulled out my back And I had to start doing strength. I couldn't touch my toes. It would be like, ow! But now check this out. That only hurt a little bit. Yeah, we'll stretch it out a little more after. But here's the cool thing, and this is the absolute kicker, that Abraham followed God. We do see moments where he would have wrestled with it. But later on in the Bible, in the New Testament, Romans chapter 4 says this. Chapter 4, verse 20, it says, "No, come on, man. Get these ready. See, it's when you bust out the little strings, it's just like, boom. And you crack a joke to stop it. No distrust made him waver. Concerning the promise of God. Man, this is gonna get ugly. Woo! But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. Fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. This is the good part. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. When we believe, when we activate our faith, and when we actually step out, that is credited to us as righteousness. Abraham was counted righteous because he just went. He didn't wait for the promise to be fulfilled. He didn't see the provision. He didn't see any of that. But he went, and that was credited to him as righteousness. But the words, "it was counted to him," were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. How good is that? It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Man, it's good. Real faith, when acted upon, commands the blessing of God. It's a beautiful thing. What would it look like for those in the room who are maybe feeling a tug? Then it's like, man, my faith is feeling really stiff and rigid these days. What would it look like for us to begin to stretch a little more? To begin to seek God, to see if there's some areas of our life and our faith that he wants to stretch out a little bit. What would that look like, man? We'd have like 3 campuses we'd be planning next year, probably. We'd be sending missionaries off every year. And it wouldn't be a problem because people would be stepping out in faith and probably giving them a little more of their finances too. We'd have no shortage of ministry volunteers. I mean, like, our kids' ministry would be teeming with volunteers. Our youth ministries, our guest services, man, it would be a party in the lobby every Sunday because everybody's just stoked to be here and just welcome people into church. Well, and I'm not saying that those current ministries aren't doing a great job, but man, I just know that there are so many people in this room. God wants to stretch your faith. And as we respond, there is a blessing that follows our obedience. That our obedience is counted to us as righteousness. And the cool thing is you got a leader right here in the front row who embodies that better than anyone I know. Like, I've been here 3.5 years, and I don't think I've seen a season of Evan's life where he's taken his foot off the gas. There's never been a season in the life of this church, to my knowledge, in the last few years where it hasn't been, okay, God, what are you calling us to next? We don't want to just stay here and camp out for a while and pitch our tents and just like whatever, celebrate this. No, like, okay, cool. You did that, but you're always on the move. So what are you doing next? That's who Evan is. Yeah. And so Ev, I just honor you in that. I know that it's been a challenge for me, because for me, I've been like your sounding board in some cases, and we've had some fun conversations, you know. But that is a trait in you that I so admire and would love to cultivate in my own life. And this step that we're taking, I believe, is us picking up a little bit of that. But Northgate, what would it look like for all of us to take that up? To step out? You know? Maybe there's some people in here that need to get baptized this afternoon at the picnic because God's calling you to step out and take that leap of faith and to trust Him with your life. I don't know what it is for you, but I'm going to pray for obedience in that. That as we give glory to God, that we will grow strong in our faith, just like Abraham. So God, we give you all the glory for what you have done in this church. We give you the glory for what you're going to continue to do in this church. And we thank you that it does not depend on me or Pastor Evan or Pastor Joel or Daniel or our ministry leaders or volunteers. It all depends on you, God. And I thank you that you have great plans for this church. You have great steps for us to take. And as we do that, you're going to do a miracle through us. You're going to reach this Comox Valley. You're going to reach Port Alberni. You're going to do so many huge things, God, but it requires us to take a step because you love doing it through us. You love partnering with your people to do incredible things. So God, I pray for people in the room, all over the room this morning. They feel you tugging. They maybe feel those butterflies that I just had the other day as I went to jump off that ledge. God, would they respond with obedience this morning? And stepping into whatever it is that you're calling them to do. And would they begin to see provision? Would they begin to see blessing as they step out? Thank you that greater days are still ahead for this church, God, that you're not done. You're only just getting started. There's so many people that you still want to reach. There's so many things that you still have for us to discover about you. So God, we love you. And we step out. We allow our faith to be stretched. Would you continue to do a huge work here? In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Let's give God a hand this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. All right. Well, this band's gonna just crack open a big old song and sing us out of here. Hope you have a fantastic week. We will see you around. We will see you next week. So God bless you. Have a good one.